Hi, this is Desda Zuckerman. Welcome to Love, Lineage, and Legacy. This is Lineage, Part 1. Love, Lineage, and Legacy. What exactly is lineage? Ancestral remnants can be found in the structure. The energy structure holds the story of your family's evolutionary development. Especially if you've incarnated into the family line multiple times, it's very important and impactful. And of course, most of us don't know if that's so or not. Some of us have a feeling about that, but we haven't actually got proof. So it's best to assume that you're in this family lineage for a reason. So these remnants can be found in the structure, and much like our genetic code reveals the health and the history of our ancestors, showing evidence of things like the Irish potato famine or diseases like tuberculosis and syphilis, the subtle energy structure holds the familial mindset or psychological tendencies of your tribe. It's sort of epigenetic, but it's extra epigenetic. We all have seen things like suicide, depression, or even traits like looking on the bright side tend to run in families. Have you found yourself saying those exact same words your parents did 40 years ago to your own children? Sometimes when that happens, we think, I vowed I would never do that or say that. But somehow in that moment, it seems like the exact right thing to say, young lady, do as I say, not as I do. So part of these behavioral bents are physically caused by chemical imbalance, and they can be treated with drugs, supported with various therapies. You know, things like hypothyroidism definitely runs in families, and other problems that are genetically based. So that's some of the lineage that you receive, the kind of body type you have. You know, I look like my grandmother. It's just the way it is. But it is equally important to address the energetic climate of this heritage. Because your lineage is just that. It's your heritage. So I think of them as subtle ghosts in the machine of the human energy structure. And these subtle and often undetectable energies can influence life in an incredibly powerful way. And not just a little, they can energize your life. They can drive you. If you've inherited the autoimmune condition that your great-grandmother had, it can force you to become an expert on autoimmune disease and to seek out all of the incredibly interesting and intricate ways that you can treat something like that. So they can be a gift in a lot of ways for people. More than once, I've heard people speak of their genetic conditions in this way. So when experiencing an active ghost in your subtle machine, it's like you're blind to why you react or respond in a certain unacceptable way to behaviors or situations. So there are as many presentations as there are people. Here are some examples of ways that ghosts appear in your subtle machine. Responses like always having to find your own way to do things, never taking strict instructions, or if you have to take instructions, you take it kind of poorly. Insisting on being right, even if you know you're being wrong. Who does that remind you of in your family? Blaming the person who's not there. The mother, the sibling, the teacher, the poor instructions, for example, for your own shortcoming or difficulty. You're going to hear these and they're going to echo to you. Family statements, family behaviors, things that have been passed down. So here's another one. Needing to announce your feelings, putting a dampener on the whole room, sharing yourself at the expense of others. How many dinners have been ruined that way? Flying off the handle in anger when only slightly provoked. Having only one real anger response, going from irritated to fury in 60 seconds. Here's another one, eating until you're over full, stuffing yourself. Or not eating when you're hungry, putting off nourishing yourself, ignoring the physical feedback, and just sort of powering through, either to get things done or to somehow have some sense of control. That is a lineage. Here's another one. Never complaining when your body hurts, to the point of becoming incapacitated or disabled because you don't treat the illness or the injury or the condition or the chronic situation appropriately. Here's another one, the organ recital. When you go to dinner at someone's house, all you can think to talk about is your health. When you're with your family, all you can think to talk about is your health. And in fact, that's all anybody talks about is their health. And it goes on and on and on. Called by a friend of mine, the organ recital. Oh, here's another good one. Not sharing your emotions. Like locking them in, feeling them, because that's the way you're supposed to do it. That's the way men do it, or that's the way a good woman does it. She doesn't let her emotions cloud the situation. Come on, that's another lineage. Needless to say, many of these types of issues can have psychological causes. I mean, we're not arguing that point. The difference here is that the persistent nature of the behavior in your life. So usually these don't resolve through psychotherapy. No matter how good the work or how committed the client or the therapist, they sort of still continue. You can dial them down, but they're still there. They're underneath. They become a subtext to your life instead of the glaring neon sign. So as a result, you just kind of quit dealing with it. And you sort of say, well, that's just how I am. But the truth is, the root is buried too deep. And the initial decision may have simply been to do it the way you know, the way you feel it, or simply to react. But the question is not so much why do you do it in this situation, but how can you stop doing something that's so ingrained? And wow, is that really energetic? And the truth of the matter is, yes, it is. Ghosts like this happen to help us survive. And when I say ghosts, I literally mean ghosts. These are the lineage of your ancestors. This is how you have brought them into your life, kept them alive and real. This is how they have given the gift of their knowledge to their descendants. But unfortunately, they're there. And we need to exorcise these ghosts. So this has worked for tens of thousands of years, and human beings have done this and done this and done this. And we all have the overlay of thousands of ancestors in our subtle structure. Just think about it. It's a regular convention in there. So some are more influential than others. Some grandmothers or grandfathers more helpful in their negative impact, and some more significant in their positive effect. We are the composite of billions of energies and magical spontaneous shifts that have occurred in the subtle body to shape each of us and who we have become. Each ancestor is useful. Each one holds a vast set of experiences and impressions, no matter how long or short the life. Every one of them has left an impression on you. Not every single thing remains in you from every single antecedent. That would take a pretty big stew pot, wouldn't it? No, what remains for you are the bits and pieces of your tribe that were deemed important by your early conditioning and the choices that you have made that have shaped and directed instinctual focus for this life. Usually these parts of your makeup would go without notice. They'd be considered positive attributes or intuitive brilliance. But sometimes it's possible for these ghostly ancestral traits to exert a negative influence. And that's where we really want to look. Often we know about our family's dark secrets. The child born out of wedlock, the rape, the family incest, the great uncle who shot himself in the attic, or the grandmother who tried to kill her eighth child because she simply couldn't face another diaper. In a fit of postpartum depression. Also another lineage piece. Tales of surviving the famine, the long ship crossing, imprisonment, torture, or poverty survive down through the generations. And in more than just the family history, they remain in the energetic signatures and events stored epigenetically in the DNA. Still, some of these long-dead traumas remain alive within us, and there are those which impact us more intently. It's possible to remove the signature of famine, you know, partially, and still hang on to the ghost who suffered it greatly. And what if it was generations of famine? I mean, the Irish really experienced famine for generations, not just one generation. The potato famine was extreme. But there had been famine after famine for thousands of years. The same thing with American Indian heritage. Many famines. It goes on and on like that. And the trauma is still living. So you know that feeling that you'll never have enough? It might not be psychologically caused. So why do they do it? Why do our ancestors do this? Well, for one thing, it's been happening for thousands of years, but they often want to warn the children yet unborn about the possibility of starvation and to share with their descendant the will, the stamina, and the force of character that they might need to survive such a thing. They want the line to survive. Often a benefactor, the ghost of your ancestors' most powerful experiences, we think of them as a benefactor or a leader in your family tribe. So often these powerful experiences influence your behavior and opinion and your decisions for good. So you don't want to remove that, right? You want to keep that unexplained and unresolved. The ancestral ghosts make future both certain and uncertain. They lock in certain things, and other things are mysterious. But they create a kind of bond within the genetic family history that can comfort as well as destroy. If you come from pioneer stock that took Conestoga wagons across the country all the way to the Rockies, there's a certain kind of grit and family intensity that is shared in that. You're going to finish your task no matter what. You're going to cross the prairie of your desk with great authority and focus. Maybe more than you need, right? So this bond is carried in the subtle version of our DNA, and it's a part of the subtle anatomy called the subtle light matrix. Removal involves defining the issue, understanding the historical context by researching your own family story. And this doesn't mean going to the default setting of making up an explanation, like, oh, it must have been this, or getting a psychic to give you a plausible tale. Don't do that. Don't rob yourself of the investigatory process. To release this epigenetically stored information, you must do this work personally. Build your own historical reconstruction and look at the effect of one upon the other through the generations. Now, I can hear you saying, but I don't know who my great-great-grandmother was. It's okay. In situations where historical genealogy isn't available and all the relatives are dead and gone, making up a story of what and why is still not acceptable. Go back as far as possible and work with what you have. Be clinical in your research. In situations of adoption or abandonment, start there and track through the life, the instances of adopting behaviors or abandoning of the inner truth. So you can trust that these patterns that go back through the ages are your subtle ghosts in the machine. And not knowing the stories isn't necessary to name the fact of the ghostly influence.